Okay, today we're going to look at King Asa, the second part of King Asa's life, or the second message about King Asa. Kia ora ana asa o no daini message desu kedo, ano asa o no ano Zeraf tono tatakai. So instead, today's message is about the conflict between King Asa and Zerah. Okay, I'll just pray. Tēnā tō sama, I tsumo mi kotoba no tō ni kansha shimasu. Kyō mo mi kotoba o terashite kudasai. Dōka watashi tachi ni hontō no kono tenshi no haikei ni aru 存在している力、あなたと私たちとその他の被造物、その影響についても教えてください。この地上には勝手に何も起こらない。必ずしもあなたの計画があるし、人の忠実と不忠実もあります。悪魔はあります。天使もあります。そういうことで、どうか私たちはどのようにあなたの、完全な計画に参加できますように教えてください。イエスの皆によって祈ります。アメン。Okay, so let's look at the life of King Asa. So, in the part one, we looked at the time of rest that God gave him at the beginning of his time of ministry. He had 10 years of rest. And today we're going to look at the conflict between him and King Zerah, or Zerahu. So let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. そして今日は第2歴代史14章を開けてみてください。朝王の奉仕はその最初に10年間の安息で始まった。それから突然このゼラクという人が現れて朝とそのイスラエルユダに攻めに来ました。そして今日はその戦いについて学びます。 Alright, so I'll just begin by reading chapter 14 verses 9 to 15. I'll begin in English and then we'll do Japanese. 最初は英語で、それから日本語で訳します。最初は第二歴代史14章9節から15節を読んでください。 Now Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. And he came to Mareshah. So Asa went out to meet him, and they drew up in battle formation in the valley of Zephathah at Mareshah. Then Asa called to the Lord his God and said, Lord, there is no one besides you to help in the battle between the powerful and those who have no strength. So help us, O Lord, our God, for we trust in you, and in your name we come against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Let not man prevail against you. So the Lord routed the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Asa and the people who were with him pursued them as far as Gerar, and so many Ethiopians fell that they could not recover, for they were shattered before the Lord and before his army, and they carried away very much plunder. They destroyed all the cities around Gerar, for the dread of the Lord had fallen on them, and they despoiled all the cities, for there was much plunder in them. They also struck down those who owned livestock, and they carried away large numbers of sheep and camels. Then they returned to Jerusalem. Who was this man, Zerah? Well, nobody really knows who he was for sure. We can guess and we can speculate about who he was. There's a few theories. One is that he's obviously called an Ethiopian, which in Hebrew is a Cushite or a Cushi. The descendants of Cush seem to have gone down to the southern part of Arabia and skipped across the Strait of Hormuz, I think, and into Africa and gone into Ethiopia that way. So you have Kushite people in the southern part of Arabia. You also have Kushite people across the border in Somalia and Ethiopia. Which one was it? Was this guy an Arabian wanderer who led an army of, you know, Bedouin-style nomads against Israel? Or was this someone from Egypt who led an army from Egypt? Well, I think the context makes it pretty clear that it was someone from Africa. The reason for that is, first of all, if you look at chapter 16, in verse 8, the prophet Hanani says to Asa, "Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubim an immense army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand." The Lubim, that word Lubim is Libya, what we get today, Libya, and that's North Africa. Now, in this particular time in Egyptian history, we can be a little bit more confident about the time frame. When you go back to the time of Abraham, and especially like Joseph, and that, it's very hard to know who was the pharaoh at that time. We don't even know which dynasty was in at those times. But when it comes down to this time, we do. We do have a lot more confidence. And when it gets to the time of King Ahab, which was not very long after this, we can pinpoint the very year that Ahab lived, and also when Jehu paid tribute to the king of Assyria. So at that point, things become very accurate. We know that Solomon's temple was established in about 1000 BC. And so we're talking about probably here, this is the grandson or the great-great-grandson of Solomon. So it's probably about the 800s BC. It's a time when Assyria was starting to rise up as a world power. And it's a time when Egypt was starting to get worried about Assyria, because until then Egypt had had pretty free reign over the whole of the Middle East, up around Canaan. And so this place Gerar is in Judah, but it's down close to Philistia near Gath. And so this would be a time where it's quite likely that Egypt would come up and want to make sure that their land is well within their control. Previously, the king, the Bible calls him Shishak, had come up against Jerusalem, and Rehoboam had given him tribute. So it is a time where Egypt is coming up. A million men and so many chariots, it's hard to imagine that the nomads of the desert would be able to come up with that many men, and why would they? What possible advantage would they have in coming up against Judah like that? So I think we could probably safely say this is an Egyptian group. Secondly, the fact that the Libyans were with them. There's a king in that very time of Egypt, one of the pharaohs, whose name was Shoshenq. And Shoshenq was actually descended from Libya. And just after his time, and between Shoshenq the First and Shoshenq the Third, it was a time when the Upper Egypt split. So we had the new kingdom, and then it went back to having a divided Egypt, where Pharaoh at the Lower Egypt was ruling near the delta, but you also had these other pharaohs very close to the Nubians, down near Kush, down near Ethiopia, who were also reigning at the same time. And so we have the Libyans, we have this strong power from down south who's coming from Ethiopia. So I'd say in the context of that particular time, it's probably one of the southern pharaohs. Why doesn't it call him pharaoh? Well, my speculation is if there was a pharaoh in the Lower Egypt at the time, It may just be simply the way that they referred to the pharaoh of Upper Egypt, and perhaps he wasn't recognized as a pharaoh outside of his own territory. So that's the situation we're dealing with. Nevertheless, let's continue and look a little bit more at this. They came to this place, and the place was... where are we? Chapter 14, sorry. They came to this place in verse 10, Zephathah at Mareshah. Now these words, Zephathah is a watchtower, a place where you're looking out for attack. Is an attack coming? Be careful, watch, pay attention. Mareshah is a word which means a head, like an authority, a principality, a power, something like that. The word Christians use principalities and powers in the plural is marashot. So marashah is that idea in Greek, kind of like arche. It's a headship. So what we're looking at here, God gave Asa 10 years of peace, and then suddenly God sends Asa to this place called a watchtower, and he sends this unbelievable army against him, right? This, until the time of the Persian Empire, with Darius and these guys, there wasn't such an army in existence in history. 1 million people plus chariots. It's huge. And little Judah has to stand up against this massive group of people. Now, this is an example of the way that God controls the powers of this world. Everything is in God's control. God raises countries up, God lowers countries down. When Asa cried out to God, he said, God, there's no one besides you to help. This is not like we're fighting against Israel. You know, in that case, we could say, well, maybe we're strong enough or whatever. This is an impossible situation. They are so much more powerful than us. And if this, in fact, was Egypt, you know, you can imagine how strong they were. And 300 chariots, it's a big army. This world contains such powers, and we don't see them, we don't know them. But Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 that our battle, our wrestling, is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers. We are in the same situation as King Asa, and so we need to take the same kind of attitude that he took in dealing with him, and that's what we'll have a look at tonight. そして最初に朝の政権は10年間の安息から始まった。神様はその安息を彼に与えました。先週それを学びました。そして突然この数え切れないほど大きな軍隊が彼らを攻めに来ました。そしてこのゼラフという人は誰かという、まあいろいろな考えがありますけど、一つは、まあ一つ確実なことは、彼はクシ人、エティオピア人、クシ人。まあでもクシは二つに分かれていた。クシはもともとバビロンから始まった民族ですけど、シュメール。そしてアラビアの半島の南の方に行きました、移住しました。そして多くのクシはその、海峡を渡って現代のエティオピア、ソマリア、その地方に行きました。それはニュービアだろうか、クシと呼ばれているところ。そしてまあどっちでしょう、この人はアラビアから来たサスライ人か、これはエジプトのパロ、それかエジプトの関わりのある強い軍隊か。多分これはエジプトと関わる人じゃないかと思います。16章8節を見てみると、クシ人とルブ人は大軍勢ではなかったでしょうか。戦車と、騎兵は非常におびただしかったではありませんか。しかしあなたが主により頼んだ時、主は彼らをあなたの手に渡されたのです。ここでその、大きな軍隊はクシとルブ人、ルブはリビア、エジプトの隣の国、現代のリビアですけど、 だからまあアフリカの北部の人たちに違いないでしょう。そしてこんな大きな軍隊はなんで中東に、なんでカナンの地に入ってきたでしょう。まあその、時代はソロモンの後で、そしてソロモンの後の時代はどんどん時間が経って、この世のエジプトの変年とアッシリアの変年とイスラエルの変年、歴史の変年は大体合うようになります。実はエフとアハブの王の時代にもうちょうどその年というのことが分かります。そして、そこから数えてみると今はその時とソロモンの時の、間ぐらいだから、結構エジプトの時に誰が政権を持っていたかはよく分かります。その時代にアッシリアが上がってきた。だからエジプトはイスラエルの地方、ユダ、イスラエルの地方をしっかり力、政権を握ようとして、多分しょっちゅうその地方を固く保っていったでしょう。前の時代にシシャクという王はレハボアムに敵対して登ってきた。そしてその後でエジプトの歴史ではショシェンクという、シシャクと似ているのは言えますけど、同じ人かわからないけど、そしてショシェンク1世、ショシェンク3世とか言いますけど、誰かわからないですけど、詳しく。だけどその時代にエジプトが分かれていた。神エジプト、下エジプトが分かれていた。だから南に伝統的なパロがいます。神エジプトにクシのクシ地方にもう一人のパロは同時に政権していた。そしてその人もクシ人じゃないかと思われる考えもあります。確かにその時代の治まっていたパロは、リビアから来た人ですので、ちょうどリビア人、エジプト人、クシ人が軍隊で活躍した。そしてイスラエルに登る理由はちょうどあります。アシリアが力強くなってきたから。だからその背景によってこの話があります。しかしなんでこれは聖書に書かれているでしょう。14章の10節で、そこで朝は彼を対抗して出陣し、マレシャにあるセファーテの谷で戦いの備えをした。セファーテは物見の塔、ヤグラ、危ないことがないか見るところ、危険が近づくとき見ることができます。そういう意味です。そしてマレシャは頭という意味。聖書の中に頭は私たちが見えないけどある力を表している言葉です。ダニエルが戦ったものとか、パウロは私たちの戦いは、格闘は肉体とではなくて力、頭というもの、そのギリシャ語ではアルケイ、頭という、頭という意味。この世を支配している天にある力ということ、考えてください。10年の安息の後で突然数えきれないほどのでっかい軍隊が現れてきた。ペルシャ時代までにはそれほど大きな軍隊はなかった。だから彼は突然現れてきた。そして朝、小さなユダとベンジャミンが彼で敵対して主により頼んだから打ち勝ったということ。すごい。彼は何を教えているかというと、神様はこの世の力を全部支配しているということ。私たちは必ずこれを心に留めなければならない。神様は国を上げる、神様は国を下げる、そしてどの力でも神様の手にあります。だから私たちはどのようにそのこの世を支配している力と格闘するでしょう。今日はそれを学びましょう。Alright, so the idea is how do we deal with these powers in the world? Because we don't see what's really controlling the world. We think it's politics. We read the newspaper, we look on the news and we think, oh, maybe because of Donald Trump, or maybe because of Obama, or maybe because of this. No, these guys have nothing to do with it. There's things behind them, and nothing's outside of God's plan. So what we need to do, really, is understand that whatever happens is in God's plan. God is dealing with the people, he's dealing with the nations. What we really need to know is, where is God in this, and where's my place in this, and what am I to do? And that was what Asa needed to focus on at the time. Well, let's look at Micah chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Micah chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Just going to look up a few of the other places where we find this word headship and do a bit of a word study with that. Micah chapter 1, 15 and 16. We usually find a similar context when we find it. Verse 15. Moreover, I will bring on you the one who takes possession, O inhabitant of Maresha. The glory of Israel will enter Adullam. Make yourself bald and cut off your hair because of the children of your delight. Extend your baldness like the eagle, for they will go from you into exile. Micah uses the name of the place and the judgment. He does a play on words. In the previous verse, Akzib will be a deception. Kazab is the word for deception or lie. So this place will become what its name is. What about Maresha? Maresha means a head. It also means to receive inheritance, to become the head. And what he's saying is, I'm going to give your headship into someone else, the king of Assyria. The glory of Israel will go into Adullam, and your head will become bald, right? You want to be the head? I'll make your head bald. I'll give it to someone else. This is the idea of the head. God is the one who rules over the heads of this world. He's the one who gives power. He's the one who takes it away. Let's look at Adullam. Adullam is a place where David fled from Saul. Right? The glory of Israel will go to Adullam. When suddenly you had this guy, Saul, reigning over Israel, David, the anointed one, picture of Christ, he fled to Adullam. There was a time where God raises up some antichrist figure, some powerful ruler to come, and his Saul's 40 years are going to be there. David wasn't allowed to touch him. Those 40 years were there. And there's a time when Antichrist will arise, and his time will be there. You can't stop it. You can't fight against it. But that's an extreme example. But the time where this world is given into the hands of terrible people, it could happen at any place, at any time. And when it does, we might be like David. We just have to go to the cave of Adullam. Right, and flee. Sennacherib is the particular one here in Micah. It was the king of Assyria who was going to come and take possession of this town, which he later did. An antichrist figure. In time of Asa, it was Zerach, which means rising, somebody who rises up. In the time of David, it was Saul. But it's always the same thing. God brings terrible powers to us. It doesn't mean that he's being mean to us. It doesn't mean he's trying to give us a hard time. He's doing what he's doing. He's just ruling the world. And he has his purpose. What did David do? What did Asa do? There is a way in which we are to fight against these people. The first thing to do is simply just accept the situation. Right? If you're in a situation where you've got no control, if you're in a situation where you're forced into a lifestyle that you don't want to be in, or you're under a power or an authority that you don't want to be in, the first thing to do is just accept it. If that's where God has led us to be, that's where God has led us to be. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 18. It's a little bit out of order, but it was next on the list. So we'll just look at it. Probably could have mentioned this before. Jeremiah 13, verse 18. Okay. Say to the king and the queen mother, come down from your thrones, for your glorious crowns will fall from your heads, your marasha. Again, there's just this same idea. God brought down the heads of one country, and he raised up the heads of another. In this case, obviously, it's Babylon. He brought the heads of Israel down. He raised the heads of Israel up. Imagine you were in Israel at that time. Imagine you were Ezekiel or Daniel or Jeremiah. What would you think? God, save me from this situation? No, it's God made that situation. So the first thing we have to do is simply accept it. The problem is not who's ruling. The problem is not who wins the election. The problem is not who's running the country. The problem is, what am I supposed to do in this situation? All right. So we'll go on to the next point. じゃあ、このゼラクというあの人が現れました。そして彼はあのこの谷、マレシャという谷で朝に攻めに来ました。じゃあ、第二歴代史14章に戻ります。第二歴代史14章。はい。そして、もう一回、10節。あの、セファテの谷で戦いを備えました。マレシャにあるセファテの谷。セファテは、大変なことが来ないかを見るところ、マレシャは頭という意味、力。そして神様はこの世の力を全部支配しています。国を上げたり、国を下げたりします。まあ、まず、エレミア13章を見てください。エレミア13章の18節。エレミアはバビロンの時代に予言しました。そして、ホセアの時代にアシリアがもうちょっとしたら来るけど、エレミアの時代にバビロンがもうちょっとしたら来ます。18節。エレミア13章の18節。王と王母に告げよ。低い座につけ。あなた方の頭からあなた方の輝かしい冠が落ちてから。まあ、頭、その頭で、頭という言葉は、この同じ言葉で、マレシャ。そして、その王とオバ、オボもは、力のところ、影響のあるところから落ちる。神様は彼を下げました。代わりに、バビロンの王、ネブカデネザルを上げました。ということ。神様は、この世を支配している、力、頭を、全部、支配しています。ミカ一章15と16。ミカ一章15と16。マイカ一章15と16を読みましょう。もう一回このマレシャという言葉が出てくるところを見ましょう。ちょうどマイカね。ミカどこで隠しているでしょう。ここ。OK。ミカ、一緒。そして15節と16節。マレシャに住む者よ。それはまあ、頭に住む者よという意味で。私はまた侵略者をあなた方のところに送る。イスラエルの栄光はアドラムまで行こう。あなたの喜びとする子らのために、あなたの頭を恐れ、その反ったところを、ハゲワシのように大きくせよ。彼らが捕らえられて、あなたから去っていたから。この、頭という町に、神様はもう一人の頭を、あげてきます。それは、アシリア王の、セナケレブという人になりましたけど、そして彼は政権をそこで 取ります、あの侵略する、支配する。そしてマレーシアという人たちの頭はハゲワシ の, あのようになります。ハゲるようになります。へりくだってるようになります。神様は頭を上げたり頭を下げたりします。そしてその時にイスラエルの栄光はアドラムにまで行きます。まあアドラムはあの洞窟で、それはダビデがサウルから逃げた時にあの隠して、そしてあの、まあ、活躍したところです。隠れ守られたところです。今日最初のポイントはこれですね。あの私たちはこの世に住んでいます。そして見えないですけど、そのこの世 の, 中の上にあらゆる力があります。パウロは私たちの格闘は肉体ではなくて、あの、まあ、力、頭との戦いです。彼らはこの世を支配しています。誰が選挙に取っているあの、なんていう、勝っているかは関係ない。オバマの問題ではない、あのトランプの問題、クリントンの問題ではない。これは神様は勝手に政権を与えたり取ったりしていますので、私たちはまずこれを認めなければならない。文句を言わずに認める。神様は何を、このような状態で何をしようとしているのかを強調しなければならない、考えなければならない。文句を言わない。誰が支配しているかはもう関係ない。私たちには神様は何をしようとしているのか、それだけが大事。神様はもう一瞬にどのステージかでも下げることができます、上げることもできますので、この状態で私たちはどのように行動すればいいかを、あの神様と共に協力しましょう、あの歩みましょう。ダビデはその時代にアドラムに行きました。背中で反キリスト的な支配者がアシリアから出てきました。サウル、ダビデを滅ぼそうとしたサウル、彼の40年間は40年間、ダビデはそれを少しでも短くしてはならなかった。その40年間は40年間でした。ダビデはそれを認めるしかなかった。またこの時にアサに対して、あのゼラフ、この頭が突然現れてきた。ひどい軍隊を持って神のために攻めに来た。そして文句言わなかった。その時に私たちはどうすればいいか、まず考えましょう。全然怖がることはない。神様は全てを支配しているから。でも私たちの役割を見落とす恐れがあります。それを気にするべきです。はい。Alright, so we need to recognize that God is the one who raises up and puts down. We need to not fear no matter who gets into power, because God is the one who appoints kings and brings them down. Or maybe not kings, but just our own situation. So, we should fear this. Am I going to miss out on what God wants me to do in this situation? Well, what did David do when this happened to him? Let's have a look. Let's have a look at 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 7. Okay. When David was in the caves fleeing from Saul, how did he respond to Saul, the head of his day, the Marashah of his day? So let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 26, and first of all, verse 7. 1 Samuel 26, 7. Okay, 1 Samuel 26, 7 says, So David and Abishai went to the army by night. First thing they did is they went to the army. They weren't afraid to face the army. They went there with the protection of God, just like Asa went there with the protection of God. They weren't silly. They weren't stupid. They didn't think they could defeat them in battle. They just went there with the Lord to see what God would do. And there was Saul lying asleep inside the camp with his spear stuck in the ground near his mareshah, near his head. That's the same word, mareshah. There's other words for head, like rosh, but this is the word mareshah. Abner and the soldiers were lying around him. Abishai said to David, "Today God has delivered your enemy into your hands. Let me pin him to the ground with one thrust of the spear. I won't strike him twice." But David said to Abishai, "Don't destroy him. Who can lay hand on the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" Okay. Then let's go on to 11 and 12. Verse 11. "But the Lord forbid that I should lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. Now get the spear and the water jug that are near his mareshah, his head, and let's go." So David took the spear and the water jug near Saul's head, and they left. No one saw or knew about it, nor did anyone wake up. They were all sleeping because the Lord had put them into a deep sleep. Isn't that interesting? And verse 16. "What you have done is not good." Okay, so David's calling out now to Abner. "What you have done is not good. As surely as the Lord lives, you and your men must die, because you didn't guard your master, the Lord's anointed. Look around you. Where are the king's spear and the water jug that were near his mareshah?" And then verse 17, Saul recognized David's voice and said, "Is that your voice, David, my son?" How did David deal with Saul? First of all, he was very sensitive to what is God wanting to do. And at that particular time, he understood the Lord's will was not for him to rise up against Saul and kill him. Sometimes we were talking about Dietrich Bonhoeffer the other day, and I've often thought about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. What would I have done? I'm sure a lot of Christians have thought about that. He was someone who was related to he was an evangelical minister in the time of Hitler, and although it was quite late in the game, there was an assassination attempt on Hitler, and he was part of it. Was it justified? Is that what God really wanted him to do, was to shoot Adolf Hitler? Would it have been the right thing to do? Well, of course, you could argue either way. But what was God leading him to do at that time? That's the thing that he really needed to pay attention to. What David did was, he saw this head, and all the other people were asleep. They didn't know what was going on. And so it is with the world today. There are rulers and powers in this world, but most people have no idea. They're asleep. They all think that it's about our choice. Right now, Budweiser has been changed to America for 6 months. They changed the name because until the election, they've got their new slogan, "America is in your hands." So they've changed the name of Budweiser to America, so that for the next 6 months, America can be in your hands. But the thing is, America is not in your hands. America is in the hands of God. Right? So the point of it is, what David did was not try to forcefully take away Saul's authority. And none of the other people knew what was going on. The people in the world, they got no idea what's behind all of these things. They think it's to do with politics. They think it's to do with money. They think it's to do with production and trade and all these kind of things. It's not. What David did was he took away the spear and the cruse of water that was next to his head. The things that were supporting him. Saul was being protected by what was next to his head. The spear, his water, and his general and his army. And David took them away. He humiliated Abner before his whole people. He took the spear, Saul's strength, his attack away, and the cruse of water, which maybe represents something, I don't know. The idea was he took away the power behind the head. He didn't try to take on the head itself. He just took away the power behind it. That's exactly what King Asa did. He said, God, he made it a battle between Zerach and God himself, not between King Asa and God. He said, God, there's no difference. The translations are different in different versions, but there's no difference between you to save by many or by few. In another translation, in the New American Standard, it's more like, you know, only you can help between the weak and the strong. He turned the battle, instead of being a battle between King Asa and this Cushite king, he made it into a battle between God and the Cushite king. He took away the power of the Cushite king. Yeah, we have no power against these political things. You've got no power against your work situation. You've got no power against your family situation. I would love to see my parents saved, But there's a stronghold that I don't know what it is. It could be many things. It could be just many, many, many years of taking your stand on a particular point and not being able to turn around on it. And that's very hard to do, you know. A humble person is usually humbled by shame and embarrassment and discipline, and they're able to say, oh, I was wrong. But when a person hasn't had those things, it's very difficult to change. I don't know what the stronghold is. You're praying for your friends? What's the stronghold? What is the thing that's holding them? I don't know. But as we pray, as we fast, as we seek the Lord, as we cooperate with the Lord and stop making it a battle between you and Him, a battle of reasons, a battle of arguments, a battle of apologetics, even though David had a sword, David has a sling, we use these things as God gives them to us, but we certainly don't rely on them. Make it a battle of prayer and a battle of faith. Recognize it's not the flesh and blood we're fighting against, it's the power behind it. David was able to take away all of Saul's power just by a simple act of faith and obedience, not an act of strength. And as long as we are in the Lord's will, and as long as we're praying, and as long as we're seeking, what does God want me to do now? What does God want me to do now? We can be sure that God will do the same with us. He will take away the power of the heads of this world, just as He took one head down and raised another one up so many times in history. That's how He'll do it again. Look at Daniel when he fought against the prince of Persia and the prince of Greece. Now, in that case, it's the word Rosh. Although I'm sure Maresha comes from Rosh. It would sound like it did. I didn't look that one up. But anyway, they both mean head. Yeah. The idea of a head. How did Daniel fight against them? Did he go and stand before the king and forcefully dethrone him? No, he prayed and he fasted for 3 weeks. He just did what... And he didn't always do that. It was a particular time where he did it as the Lord led him. He just accepted the situation and did what he saw God was leading him to do that day. And so what we see is this is a battle, but it's not a hard battle. It was a victorious battle. It didn't take very long for Asa to have total victory. And it says that the terror of the Lord, the dread of the Lord, was upon all those towns. Philistia, the roadway for the Egyptians up into Canaan, obviously these towns had already were in association, in agreement with the Egyptians. And then even they were defeated by the Jews. What a wonderful thing. It's God who lifts up the head. All right. じゃあ次に、じゃあ私たちはこの力、この頭、この世を支配している力と戦うなら、どのように戦うでしょう？アドラムにイスラエルの栄光が逃げるときに、Why did that cut off? Da jabu minna modorimashita ka? Okay. Kiremashita ne. Okay. Ja, Osanai-san wa mada desu ne. Okay. Modotte kimashita. Da jabu? Okay. So shite, watashi tachi wa kono you de このような頭、力と戦うときにどのように戦おうでしょう。まずダビデがサウルのときに戦ったように戦いましょう。そして第一サムエル26章読んでみてください。はい。第一サムエル26章、まず7節を読みます。ダビデとアビシャイは夜民のところに行った。見るとサウルは爆営の中で横になって寝ており、彼の槍がその枕元の地面に突き刺してあった。 アブネルも兵士たちもその周りに寝ていた。まあ枕元と書いてますけど、マレシャ頭頭というあの言葉です。それはそして8節、アビサイはダビデに言った、神は今日あなたの敵をあなたの手に渡されました。どうぞ私にあの槍で彼を一気に血に刺し殺させてください。二度することはいりません。しかしダビデはアビサイに言った、殺してはならない、主に油注がれた方に手を下して誰が無罪でおられよう。ダビデは言った、主が生きておられる、主は必ず彼を撃たれる、彼はその生涯の終わりに死ぬか、戦いに下った時に滅ぼされるかだ。私が主に油注がれた方に手を下すなど主の前に絶対できないことだ。さあ今や枕元マレシャカシラとにある槍と水差しとを取っていくことにしよう。こうしてダビデはサウルの枕元マレシャの矢倉と、水差しとを取り、二人で立ち去ったが、誰が一人としてこれを見た者も気づいた者も目を覚ました者はなかった。主が彼らを深い眠りに、陥られたので、みんな眠りにつけてやったからである。そして今日にも私たちの上にある力があります。多くの人々は、これは誰の政治の問題、誰の社会の問題、ただの、会社の問題、そうではなくて、神様は力を上げたり下げたりすることです。しかし眠っている人は何が起こっているかわからない。彼らはただの夢の世界に住んでいます。そしてダビデはこの軍隊に勝とうと思わなかった。しかし歌手とともにそれに近づくことも恐れなかった。朝王は同じです。朝王は全然もう自分の力によってゼラフに勝てると思わなかった。ただ主と共に行って、これを肉体じゃなくてゼラフ対神様との戦いにしました。そしてダビデもそうです。ダビデはこれはサウルと神様との戦いにしました。だから殺せなかった。しかしマレシャ、サウルのマレシャは彼の槍、彼は信頼しているものは彼の槍、彼のアブネル、その軍隊の長、そして彼の水差し、周りにあるものは彼を支えていたと思って、ダビデはそれを取った時に全然力を入れなかったけど、サウルの力を完全に奪い取りました。ダニエルはペルジャの君、ギリシャの君カシラと戦った時もそうです。全然ペルジャ王に戦おうと思わなかった。ただ祈りと断食によって彼らの力を奪い取りました。私たちもどのような大変な状態にあってもそのように行動しましょう。慌てて自分の力によって物事を変えようとしなくて祈りましょう。断食しましょう。彼らの力を奪い取りましょう。彼らと神様との戦いにしましょう。それをするときに、ただ神様と共に歩むことだけが必要です。神様は何を言っている、何を教えている、何を要求していることに敏感に心に留める必要があります。ダビデはその時に、いや絶対にサウロを殺してはならないと心の中で強く感じていた。まあ別に殺してもよかった。サウロは彼の人生を奪い取ろうとしてたのに、 ダビデは本当の王様なのにと理論的には分かっていたけど、心の中ではダメだと分かっていた。第二次世界大戦にドイツの、福音教会のリーダーの一人はボンホファという人。彼はヒトラーを暗殺する結局成功ではなかったけど、暗殺しようとする運動に囲まれました。で、多くのクリスチャンはその後でどうすればよかったでしょう。結局バレてできなかったけど、ヒトラーを殺してもよいか、殺してはならないか、もちろん戦争途中だから別に倫理的には道徳的には殺してもよかったと思いますけど、でもそれこそどうすればいい、神様に導かれましょう、ね、神様に導かれるさえすれば必ずその力のその頭の力を奪い取ることができます。しかしその第二次世界大戦に神様はイスラエルとかユダヤ人に対して多くのことをやりましたから、いつも神様には目的がある。神様は何をしようとしているかよく敏感に考えましょう。しかし彼らの力は自分の力によって取ることはできない。祈りと断食と信仰と神様と共に歩むことだけで私たちを打ち勝つことができます。 All right. So let's look at the next part. Now, we've seen that man trusts the head of man, right? Saul is the head and he trusts in his spear, he trusts in his army, he trusts in his strength, but he's asleep. Just like the people in the company, they trust in their money, their banks, their advisors, but they're asleep. Just like the politicians, they trust in their popularity, the media, their supporters, but they're asleep. They don't know what's going on. Just like the people in this world, they're trusting in the government, or they're trusting in their wisdom, or they're trusting in their school, or whatever, but they're asleep. They don't know what's going on. That's what Saul trusts in. But David was able to just go straight down there and take it away. So as a Christian, in faith, once we accept what God's asking us to do, we can do the same. The problem is not a problem. The problem is just if we fail to listen to what God is asking us to do. But, on the other hand, God is the lifter of our head. The same word, Mareshah, let's look at it in Genesis chapter 28. In Genesis chapter 28, we have the story of Bethel with Jacob. Here we are, Genesis chapter 28, and we're going to read from verse 11 to 18. 11 to 18. I'll read from verse 10. Huh? Then Jacob departed from Beersheba and went towards Haran. He came to a certain place and spent the night there, because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head, and he lay down in that place. He had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching into heaven. And behold, the angels of God were descending and ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I'm the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac. The land in which you lie, I will give it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you'll spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in you and your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I'm with you, and I will keep you wherever you go. I'll bring you back to this land, and I will not leave you until I have done what I've promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it. He was afraid and said, How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early that morning and took a stone that he had put under his head, his mareshah, and he set it up as a pillar and poured oil on its top. And he called the name of that place Bethel. However, the name of the place previously had been Luz. Notice what it was that was supporting his head. God was supporting his head. God was with him. God had brought Esau and to attack him and to want to put him to death. God had allowed Jacob to fall into a terrible situation. He had to escape. And yet, God said, wherever you go, whatever you do, don't worry, I'm with you. I'm going to definitely fulfill this great promise, and I'm going to bring you back to this place. And he took that stone which was under his head, and he poured oil on it, anointed it. It's a picture of Christ, the God of Bethel. And he stood it up, and he said, this is the God of Bethel. So, God is the one who supports his head. And we don't have to look after ourselves, because God is supporting us. Jacob wasn't told, you know, you've got to look after yourself, you're on your own now. You've got to use your wisdom, you've got to use all of your... No, God was going to show him that none of that worked. I'm the one who supports your head. Man, if we could only just understand that, how great would it help us to live each day to know that it's God who is supporting us, not we that are supporting God. God brings heads down, God raises heads up, but God is the lifter of our head. Let's look at Psalm 3:3 again. This time, who's David running away from now? This time he's running away from Absalom, another antichrist figure who's suddenly arisen and taken the headship of Israel. Psalm 3:3. What does David do when someone arises up, like Zerach? Remember, Zerach means rising. His head arises up and takes over. O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God. Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain. Selah. I lay down and slept, like Jacob. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. I would not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have smitten all my enemies on the cheek. You have shattered the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the God. Your blessings be on your people. It's interesting, isn't it? All the same themes again in the life of David, only this time it's not Saul, and this time it's not Sennacherib, and this time it's not Asa, it's Absalom. But what are the principles here? They come up again. The adversaries are all around. We may be in trouble. Everyone's against us. Is that a problem? No, not if God is with us. Many are saying of my soul, there's no salvation for him in God. People are mocking the gospel. They're looking at us as a bad example, as a bad testimony. But you, O Lord, are a shield. God is our shield. My glory and the one who lifts my head. He's the one who will raise us up. He's the one who will support us, just like Jacob. So what did he do? He lay down and he slept and he had faith. So that's a beautiful promise that we can have as a Christian. When everything's going wrong, it seems, it's not going wrong. It's just that the enemies are around us. God's our shield. God's the one who supports us in our heads. So fall asleep and relax and know that God will work it out. As long as we're being sensitive to what he's doing with us, and as long as we're listening to him, when the time comes, he will arise. He will destroy them. He will make the situation right. Now, there's another one, very similar, but this one has a slight extra promise that I wanted to make. Look at Psalm 27. Almost the same situation here, but I just want to focus on one extra part of it. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise around me, in spite of all this, I will be confident. One thing have I asked from the Lord, that shall I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock, like Jacob. And now my head will be lifted up against above my enemies around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yeah, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me or forsaken me, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen up against me, and such as breathe out violence. Now this is the one I want to look at. Verse 13, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. So basically this is Psalm 3 just extended. But what do we see here? The enemy's around, but God is the strength of his life. God is his protection, so he can rest. Yeah, that comes out in both Psalms. What is the extra bit here, though? The extra bit here is, while all of this is going on, David is more concerned with being in the tabernacle, in the presence of God, considering God's goodness, considering the aspects of God, praising God, offering thanks, offering sacrifice of praise. He's not worried about the enemy so much as he's worried or concerned about, what is God like? What is God doing? What is God showing me? And so, when we go up to fight in these difficult times, when everything seems to be going wrong and we're in uncontrollable situations, and our attack is to look at God and start getting into theology, really. What is God doing here? That's why David said, no, you know what, I don't think at this time I should kill Saul, because who can touch the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? That must have come from meditation about how serious God takes his anointing. It must have come from meditation on the rights of a king and the rights of the people. And David must have spent a good lot of time thinking about the ways of God. So he knew very carefully. And Abishai, he's a bit like, you know, me. He would have just gone in there and bang, without thinking at all. So when all this is happening, David's concern is, what is God like? He's with me. Be in his presence. Think about him. Pray to him. Thank him. Talk to him. Seek his face. But also, in verse 13, understand, God also brings salvation. He brings deliverance. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And not just in the land of the dead, but in the land of the living. He knew, and he had the faith to know that God is going to act. There's a time of waiting, but then God is going to act. God is going to put it right. In the land of the living, not just when we die and go to heaven kind of thing. God's going to make things right now, because as Joseph said before, all of these things, the purpose of it all is to glorify God. God doesn't judge because he's angry and just wants to destroy everyone. He judges to teach us. And he doesn't bless because he just loves to give. He blesses because he wants to teach us. Everything is a lesson. His nature, he's teaching us his character. That's what this whole world is for. And so, have the faith to know that accept the situation, be with God and focus on him in the situation, and know that in the land of the living, with your own eyes, you're going to see God. And you know what? When you read the New Testament, especially in Romans chapter 8 and Ephesians chapter 6 and 1 Corinthians 3, when Paul uses the words powers, right? We're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but with powers and heads and forces and things like that. Look at the context. The context is always the same. It's walking with God. being forgiven. Who can bring an accusation against God's elect? If God is for us, who can be against us? And he's made us conquerors. He's interceding for us. The relationship with God is everything. The grace of God in salvation is everything. We're just told to rest in the knowledge that Christ has made everything right. And rest in the knowledge that no matter what sins we fall into, once we repent, they're gone. Jesus is our interceder. He's making intercession for us. He's giving us the victory by his grace. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, including powers and heads. And one of those words is arche. It's always the same. Love, meekness, not misusing worldly power. Don't forcefully try to make people do what you want. Just relax. Be humble. And say, God, what do you want me to be doing in this situation? Yeah, this guy is ruling over me, but how am I supposed to react as a Christian? How am I supposed to work as a Christian? How am I supposed to serve as a Christian? How am I supposed to pray as a Christian? How am I supposed to deal with the sins in my own life? How can I repent? How can I love more? The focus is not on the problem around. The focus is on God himself. And Jacob realized that, and he said, wow, how awesome is this place? What an awesome place to be, knowing that God is the lifter of our head. All right. じゃあ、最後に、創世記28章を見てみてください。創世記28章、ヤコブの、話ですけど、創世記28章10から18。おさなさん、10から18を読んでもらえますか？お願いします。はい。28章10から18節。
はい。ヤコブは、ベエルシェバを立って、パランへ立って、あるところに来るとき、共同日が、組んだのでそこで一夜を越えることにした。彼はその心の石の一つを取り、それを枕にしてこの場所で横に立った。そのうちに彼は夢を見た。いいよ、一つの橋が地に向けて立てられている。その頂は天に届き、いいよ、神の御使いたちが神の使いたちがそのはしごを上り下りしている。そして見よ、主が彼の傍らに立っておられた。そして仰せられた。私はあなたの父アブラハムの神、イサクの神、主である。私はあなたが横たわっているこの地をあなたとあなたの子孫とに与える。あなたの子孫は地の塵のように多くなり、あなたは西、東、北、南へと広がり、地上のすべての民族はあなたとあなたの子孫によって祝福される。見よ、私はあなたと共にあり、あなたがどこへ行ってもあなたを守り、あなたをこの地に連れ戻そう。私はあなたに約束したことを成し遂げるまで決してあなたを捨てない。ヤコブは眠りから覚めて、まことに主がこのところにおられるのに私はそれを知らなかったと言った。彼は恐れをののいてまた言った。この場所はなんと恐れ多いことだろう。こここそ神の家に他ならない。ここは天の門だ。翌朝早くヤコブは自分が枕にした石を取り、それを石の柱として立て、その上に油を注いだ。18までだ。
18まで。はい。
はい。
ありがとうございます。はい、そしてここでサウルとヤコブを比べましょう。サウルは寝ていた時に彼の枕元、彼のマレシャー、頭の隣にヤグラがありました。隣に軍隊の長がいました。隣に水差し、彼を支えるものがありました。周りに軍隊が一緒に寝ていた。サオル、その頭はそういうものに信頼していた。この世の力に信頼していた。しかしダビデは彼がより頼む 通っているものをすぐに奪い取ることができました。逆にここではヤコブは寝ています。そしてヤコブの頭、ヤコブのマレシャ、同じ言葉が支えられている。何に支えられているでしょう。この石、そして上がった時にその石の上に油を注ぎました。これはイエスを表しているもの。そしてすごい、この場所はなんと恐れ多いことだろう。こここそ神の家に他はない。ここは天のもんだ。翌朝早くヤコブは自分の枕にした石を取り、それを石の柱として立て、それに油を注いだ。神様は彼の頭を上げたということ。彼は寝ていた時に神様は彼の頭を上げていた。そしてこれからの道は大変、あなたは餌をから逃げているでしょう。これからアシリアに行くでしょう。ハラン、どこに行くかわからない。周りに敵がおるかもしれない。どうする。神様が彼と共にいる。すべての道を守る、すべての約束を守るということが確信しました。だから安全に安息に寝ることができました。それは信仰の反応です。周りにすべてが大変になるときに、私たちはただ眠って神様に頼ります。神様は私たちの頭を支えてくださるから。まあ今2つの詩篇を読んでみたいと思います。どちらもダビデの詩篇ですけど、今度は詩篇3編を読みます。ダビデは今度はアブサロムから逃げていた。サウルの時代が過ぎ去って ダビデの頭が挙げられましたけど、ある時に次にアブサロムに政権が奪い取られました。そしてアブサロム、アンキリストみたいなものが突然現れてきて、自分の頭をイスラエルの上に持ちました。そしてダビデはまた逃げなければならなかった。そして詩篇3編を読みましょう。こうして読むときに、私たちがこの力、この頭、このマレシャーと格闘するときにどうすればいい、ダビデから学びましょう。じゃあもう一回おさないさん、詩篇3編をお願いします。
はい。ダビデがその子アブシャロムから逃れた時の賛歌。主よ、なんと私の敵が増えてきたことでしょう。私に立ち向かう者が多くいます。多くの者が私の魂のことを言っています。彼に神の救いはない、とせら。しかし主よ、あなたは私の周りを囲む盾、私の栄光、そして私の頭を高く上げてくださる方です。私は声を上げて主に呼ばわる。すると聖なる山から私に答えてくださる。セラ。私は身を横たえて眠る。私はまた目を覚ます。主が支えてくださるから私を取り囲んでいる幾万の民をも私は恐れない。主よ、立ち上がってください。私の神、私を救いください。あなたは私のすべての敵の方を打ち、悪者の母を打ち砕いてくださいます。救いは主にあります。あなたの祝福があなたの民の上にありますように。セラ。
ありがとう。ここではダビデは周りに敵が上がってきた。そしてダビデも 朝をと同じように主に呼びました。でどうなったでしょう。 3節。そして私の頭を叩く上げてくださる方です。私の栄光、主。ダビデの頭を支えたものはその時に主。そして5節。私は身を横たえて寝る。それは虫で寝ることじゃなくて信仰で寝ること、安心で寝ること。サウルは危ない危険な状態で何も分からずに寝ちゃった。 ダビデは全てが主の御手にあると分かって安心に寝ることができました。私は目を覚ます、主が支えてくださるから。ちょうど同じ状況です。しかしでそして神様とのとその敵との戦いにしました。自分と敵の戦いではなくて神とその敵の戦いにしました。7節、主よ立ち上がってください、私の神、私を救いください、あなたは私のすべての敵の方をに打ち、悪者の歯を打ち砕いてくださいます。同じようなものですけど、詩編27編今度読みましょう。27、はい。でちょうど3編と似てますけど、ちょっと3編に足しているもの、3編にないもので27編に出てくるものをちょっと強調したいと思います。まず読みましょう。27章お願いします。
ダビデによる、主は私の光、私の救い、誰を私は恐れよう。主は私の命の砦、誰を私は怖がろう。悪を行う者が私の肉を食らおうと私に襲いかかった時、私の仇、私の敵、彼らはつまずき倒れた。たとえ私に向かって陣営が張られても、私の心は恐れない。たとえ戦いが私に向かって起こっても、それにも私は動じない。私は一つのことを主に願った。私はそれを求めている。私の命の日の限り主の家に住むことを。主の麗しさを仰ぎ見、その宮で思いにふける。そのために、それは主が悩みの日に私を隠れ場に隠し、その幕屋の密かなところに私をかくまい、岩の上に私をあげてくださるからだ。今私の頭は私を取り囲む敵の上に高くあげられる。私はその幕屋で喜びの生贄を捧げ、歌うたい、主に褒め歌を歌おう。聞いてください、主よ、私の呼ぶこの声を。私を憐れみ、私に答えてください。あなたに代わって私の心は申します。私の顔を慕い求めようと、主よ、あなたの御顔を私は慕い求めます。どうか御顔を私に隠さないでください。あなたのしもべを怒って押しのけないでください。あなたは私の助けです。私を見放さないでください。見捨てないでください。私の救いの神、私の父、私の母が私を見捨てるときは、主が私を取り上げてくださる。主よ、あなたの道を私に教えてください。私を待ち伏せている者どもがおりますから、私を平らな小道に導いてください。私を私のあだの意のままにさせないでください。偽りの証人どもが私に立ち向かい暴言を吐いているのです。ああ、私に生ける者の地で主の慈しみを見ることが信じられなかったなら、待ち望め主よ、大しくあれ、心を強くせよ、待ち望め主よ。
はい、ダビデは3弁と同じように敵が周りにあった。しかし彼の頭は主に支えられたと書いてます。そして神様は結局敵に打ち勝ったという信仰を持っています。しかしここで3弁に出てこなかったところは2つあります。まず彼の強調点はどうでしょう。周りその戦いの中ではダビデは何に心に留めようとしてた、何を注意深く見ようとしてた、覚えてください。このゼパテの谷でマレシャというところ、ものを見るところと頭はつながっていた。何を見たでしょう。ダビデはその大変な困難な時に主を見てた。私は一つのことを主に願った。 私はそれを求めている。私は命の日に限り主の家に住むこと、主の麗しさを仰ぎ見、その宮で思いにふける、そのために。ダビデは主を見てた。そして神様の特徴を考えていた。神様の価値観を考えていた。神様を礼拝していた。神様のいいところを褒めてたえた。そして11節、主よ、あなたの道を私に教えてください。まあ、サウロを殺していいか殺してないか、きっとよく考えていたでしょう。そして神様の価値観をよく考えて、油注がれる者の権威とか主から与えられているじゃないかと。そして勝手にとてはならない、主よ、あなたの道を私に教えてください。私を待ち伏せている者どもがおりますから、私を平らな小道に導いてください。ダビデは神様の考え方を取ろうとしてた。神様の顔を見ようとしてた。神様の動きを理解しようとしてた。神様を崇拝しました。そして私たちは大変な時に同じようにしましょう。問題を決して見てはならない、恐れてはならない。その時にまず認めて安心に寝ることができる。結局神様は全てを正しくする信仰を持つ。それからその中で神様の価値観、神様の道、神様の道徳、神様のどう導かれているかをよく聞いてください。神様の声を待ち望みましょう。その時にきっと神様はあなたにいろいろな貴重なレッスンを教えるから。そして13節、私に生ける者の地で、生ける者の地で主の慈しみを見ることが信じられなかったなら待ち望め主よと書いています。もう必ず生ける者の地で主の慈しみを見ることができます。まあこの世はダメですから、亡くなって天国に行ってやっと祝福があるじゃなくて、必ずこの大変な患難が過ぎ去った時に生きている間でも神様の裁きを見るでしょう。その信仰をも持ってください。必ず神様を尊ぶ者は神様は尊びます。神様は皆の前で彼の皆のために恥を持っている者を皆の前で高く上げます。そして私たちは友達のために祈っている時に慌ててどうしても無理に信じさせようとしないで祈りましょう。神様の価値観を考えましょう。御言葉を理解しようとしましょう。信仰を持って、これは神様と人間の戦いにしてください。私の両親はなんで信じないのか、どんな強いところ、どんな砦が倒れなければならないかよく分かりませんけど、神様は分かっている。神様は私にどう導いているかだけを心に留めて仰ぎ見ましょう。自分の金融的な大変な状態もそうです。会社の大変な状態もそうです。国の大変な状態、たとえ戦争が来てもその状態でもそうです。無理にそれを変えようとせずに、その中で神様をもっと理解しようとしましょう。彼の声を聞きます。待ち望みます。導かれるように、そして多くのことを学びましょう。そして結局神様は全てを正しくします。そのような信仰が私たちにはありえますので、よく持ってよく安心に この世を恐れず信仰にあって歩みましょう。はい、じゃあ新約聖書もきっとローマ8章、第一コリント3章、エフェソ6章もパウロはその頭、力を支配するもの について語っている時も同じような文脈で、結局私たちはその哀れみ、愛、イエスの義を持っている、イエスの取りなしをよく考えながら、この力と戦おうじゃないかということを教えます。では、それを実行しましょう。イエスの御名によって祈ります。天のお父様、どうか私たちを祝福してください。本当に困難がありますが、その困難よりもあなたはどこにいるか、あなたの天幕で何を私たちに教えようとしているか、どのように導いているかをいつも心に留めれるように助けてください。本当に困難は大事な貴重なレッスンので、よく自分の御心をもたらしてください。天の御国を建ててください。ありがとうございます。私たちもその中で目が開いてあなたを見ていることも感謝します。イエスの御名によって祈ります。アメン。